Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, indeedy. Welcome in to hour number two of the Bobby Mack Show. Dave is previously occupied today, and so taking his place and joining us in his stead is his number one guy, the executive officer. That would be in the Navy of Freedom Action Network of South Carolina, Seth Powell. Seth, great to have you along with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks, although I'm not doing so good in reading this piece from the NERV, South Carolina Policy Council, that these guys are back with their data warehouse again. Who do these guys think they are? Facebook? I mean, they you know, they want to intrude into our personal lives as intrusive as it gets with every piece of data about you, your family, your kids. I had hoped that we had quashed this last year, and now here it is back as a bill, right?
Right. So for those of your listeners who don't remember, last year during the budget process, the Policy Council was thumbing through the $30 billion of our money they spent, and buried deep down in the budget, they found this creepy data warehouse that the legislators were trying to pass that essentially, Bob, was going to start culling all kinds of information about ourselves and our children, and then give that the data access directly to the politicians and their staff. Now, as you can imagine, people flipped out about it. Your listeners got upset about it.
Yep.
Emailed the legislature, emailed the governor. He vetoed it out of the budget, and then the legislature sustained it, right? So just last year, both the governor and an overwhelming part of the legislature said, you know what, guys, y'all are right. The creepy data warehouse, there's no benefit to it. There's no need to store all your data. We're going to kill it. Now, in their infinite wisdom, not 3 or 4 months later, they have reintroduced that exact same creepy data warehouse. This time, instead of putting it in the budget and trying to bury it in the budget, they just made a standalone bill. So it's H3757 this year, but essentially it's the exact same creepy data warehouse that you and your listeners were fighting 4 or 5 months ago during the budget process. But
yep,
it's back. These guys want our data. And I don't know about you, Bob, but the idea of having folks like Hugh Leatherman have data on my daughter, it creeps me out. And I don't see any need for it, guys. We got to kill this thing.
The other aspect of this that's really disturbing, number one, of course, as the story at the NERV pointed out, and you have as well, and you and Dave have, when we talked about this data warehouse before, is the fact that it's so intrusive and it's so all-encompassing. But in addition to that, there's the security aspect of this, and we know that we've seen examples in the past of the government trying to keep hold of what should be private information. And the next thing you know, it's leaking like the Titanic, and the state has to turn around and give taxpayers security protection because their information has been exposed.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the state does not have a great track record keeping up with our private information as it is. I mean, can you imagine just dumping all of our information into one big database that these guys can then share amongst themselves? I mean, we talk about the creepy aspect of it, right? When you're talking about collecting information on people's children,
right,
and they literally call it a education delivery system, as if this is the Soviet Union, so we're trying to groom our kids for certain career paths.
Right.
That's creepy in of itself. But there's also another aspect of this, which is the type of intimidation and retaliation that legislators could use against people who challenge them.
Sure.
If they have all their personal information. So, you know, Freedom Action Network, we try to empower folks, give them a voice. But a lot of times legislators don't like that. Right?
No,
so
no,
they
hate
the
it.
Ability, they absolutely hate it. So if they have the ability to peek in on their constituents' private information or someone who's going to challenge them and run against them in an election, the opportunity for mismanagement or abuse to occur with that is rampant. Right? So but on both sides of this, whether it's collecting the info on kids, that's creepy, don't want it. or giving these politicians enough information on us so that they can retaliate politically if we ever challenge them. We also don't want that. So our message today to your listeners, Bob, is pretty simple. The same way we did last year, we've got to kill this creepy data warehouse.
Yep.
And if you want to send that message to your state rep and your state senator that no way, no how, do you let H3757 move an inch in the legislature, you can do that very simply. Just take out your cell phone, text the word KILL, K-I-L-L, to the number 52886. That's KILL to 52886. You'll get a bounce back text, click on the link, and within 30 seconds, you can send that message directly to your state rep and your state senator, because the same way it was last year, Bob. If we don't stand up and demand they kill this thing, they'll let it slide right through the same way they tried to in the budget last year.
Yeah, it really is disturbing. I mean, it's so big brotherish in all its aspects. And important to note, the enabling legislation for the database was already passed 2 years ago in 2017, and that law generally establishes the system, the funding, and the actual details of what it is and how it will operate, and that is what is in H3757, this bill that doesn't even deserve to get a hearing. It deserves to die in committee.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, think about this, Bob. Right now, they are letting a constitutional carry bill waste away in committee while trying their best to figure out a way to pass a creepy data warehouse. So they
right.
want to recognize your gun rights, but they want to invade the right to privacy with this creepy data warehouse. All the way you look at it, it's bad. And just as the policy council notes, like, it's a large project and has numerous threats associated with it. I can't think of any benefits to it, right? So whether it's, like I say, whether it's spying on the kids or it's retaliating against political opponents, there is no discernible benefit in this bill whatsoever. It's all negative, which is why it is so important that we kill it now. Don't let it gain any momentum. Don't let it get out of something. Kill it on the spot right now. And you can send that message to your state rep and state senator simply by texting the word KILL to 52886. Just text KILL to 52886.
Yeah, the potential for abuses in this disaster of a bill are rampant. Among them, the most obvious to me, it's not just the elected legislators that would have access to all of this private information, all of this data. Their staff would have access to that as well. And let's say that somebody's involved in a personal situation where they want to be able to attack or damage someone on a personal level, all they would have to do is access the database and try and find out if you've had a DUI in your past, if you had a lien against you, if you had a tax bill. I mean, you name it, anything and everything would be in this Big Brother 1984 data warehouse.
Well, now, Bob, although your information may end up in the hands of politicians and then other government officials,
mm-hmm.
at least in the bill it says your information can never be made public. So that should give us, you know, rest assured that even if the politicians will have all our data, at least it won't be made public, right? I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah.
This
well,
thing has got to die on the spot right now. Just text the word KILL, K-I-L-L, to 52886 and send that message.
Yeah, I certainly would be sleeping better at night knowing that my privacy would be protected. Look, I'm perfectly capable of protecting my privacy on my own. I don't need anybody in Columbia to protect my privacy for me. But with their all-encompassing totalitarian, if I dare use that word, approach that they're taking here, this stuff is something right out of Joe Stalin's former Soviet Union.
It really is. I mean, when you look at in the wording of it, like I say, they call our education system now an education delivery system. And if you recall back in the Soviet Union, they would literally take kids, you know, 8, 9 years old and say, hey, well, you're going to work in the fields. You're going to work on the telephone lines. You're
right.
Told them what their careers were going to be.
Yep.
And I was talking to an activist at a town hall earlier, Bob. He made a good point. It was, you know, how are these know-it-all bureaucrats going to tell a child what he or she wants to pursue when most young adults don't even know what it is they want to pursue?
Sure.
But these guys, in all of their arrogance, think that they can put some data points and say, oh, little Johnny, you're going to be a plumber. Oh, little Susie, you're going to be a lawyer. Like, that's not how life works. And so, once again, the whole premise of this data warehouse is flawed. The execution of being able to give up all this data to other agencies, to the politicians, that's flawed. There are no benefits. There is no silver lining to the bill, which is why we've got to kill it right now. Guys, I can't ask you enough. Just take out your cell phones, text the word KILL, KILL to 52886 and send a message that we are not playing around with this. We are not going to let this go on through the budget process again like we did last year. We don't want it to drag on. We want it killed now. So just text the word kill to 52886.
Yeah, we talk about a lot of abuses that our legislators inflict on the people they work for, the taxpayers of South Carolina. But this is one of the most egregious that I've seen come along in a while. Again, Seth Powell with Freedom Action Network of South Carolina. Seth, nice job tracking this down and bringing this to our attention while it's early on the radar before this thing is on the floor in the House or the Senate and being voted on. And again, text KILL to 52886 and tell your legislator you don't want them knowing everything about you and your kids. Seth, enjoyed it. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you back next week.
Sounds good, Bob. Thank you.
You bet. And best regards to Dave, who is otherwise occupied today. 16 after 4 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Quick break here and then right back with more. Welcome back. Great to have you along. 422 here on the Bobby Mac Show. In on the text line, when we were talking earlier in the program about OMG moments, you know, wish I hadn't done that. I got this in my text messages. OMG moment, out having drinks with friends. Man beside us was incredibly rude and vulgar towards me. He got handsy and security threw him out. He had a very important job interview that Monday morning with me. Gulp. Needless to say, he did not get the job. Oh, would that have been priceless? See the look on that guy's face? Come in for the interview? Hey, don't I know you from somewhere? To the phones we go. Lisa is next up. And welcome to the Bobby Mac Show, Lisa. Good to have you here.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. Just to let you know, I'm a fan of Freedom Action Network. I follow them on Facebook, and I get their text messages and everything. They do great work.
Yes,
so,
they do.
I'm glad you have them on every week. And I heard him say, and I was listening to you guys and heard him, you know, going on about how the politicians tell us our data's not going to be made public. It's all going to be secure, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
This is from the same state government who allowed the Department of Revenue to be hacked a few years ago.
See, there you go.
And they want us to trust them
right.
with our information? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. They were as secure as the hull of the Titanic in protecting that data. And in fact, how much did it cost the taxpayers? Oh, it was provided to us free after the data breach where they gave us a year's worth of online protection against the data breach that they allowed. They said that the state was going to provide that for us for free. Well, for free, you know as well as I do, Lisa.
The state doesn't give anything. The state doesn't give anything away for free. The taxpayers pay for it. So I had to basically go in and pay to protect my data that the Department of Revenue allowed to be hacked.
Yes.
This is just another example of how the government wants to step in and grow itself and be someplace it has no business being. And quite frankly, I'm sick of it. We need to cut about 25% to 30% of what they're doing in Columbia anyway.
You bet.
And get rid of 30% of those people and see a little bit of government shrinkage instead of government growth for a change. And for them to want my data, my children's data, no. So I have always participated when I've gotten an email or a text message from these guys to go in and send, like they're telling you to send kill to
right.
the number they gave.
Right, 52886.
It works.
Right.
Yeah, it works. It
yes.
works. And we need to shut these people down. And you guys also need to email, call, contact your representatives and your state senators and tell them no. They don't have any business knowing anything more than they already know about you.
Right.
And for them to take their database and shove it.
And that bill number, by the way, is H for House Resolution, H 3757. And if there was ever one that needed to die, this is maybe even more important than the gas tax, because this is every piece of data about you, your family, your kids, and they want to put this into their big brother hive in Columbia and use it for who knows what their intent is.
Yeah, they don't have any business with any of that information, and everyone needs to. I would encourage everybody to call their state house rep, and to call Callie and whoever their senator happens to be, and tell them no. They just need to butt out.
Yeah,
and
this is
keep their nose out of our business.
Absolutely, it's maybe the most egregious example of overreach and government intrusion into our private lives that we've ever seen here in South Carolina, and I don't think that's an overstatement. Lisa, thanks very much. I appreciate it. Hope you have a good day. And I appreciate your reference to the previous data breach, because they've got a track record on this stuff, and it's not a good one. Let me quickly catch up with the text line here, 71307. Bobby, if you recall, there was someone who hacked into the state system before and stole tax and personal information. They have no legal right nor reason to have that system other than corruption or other illegal activity. Yeah, I know somebody would text me about this one, Money Penny, when I said swell foop. I've been saying that for so long now, I never say it the real way. One fell swoop. I've always said it one fell swoop. Or the other way around, swell foop. Bobby, I just got off the phone leaving a message asking that all persons employed by Greenville County that have anything to do with the drag queens, the homosexual lifestyle to our children, or use a taxpayer facility to do it. This is unacceptable. If you would take a child to an event like that at the library, I would hope they would be fired. I hope you'll ask all your listeners to do the same. This is nothing more than a special interest group trying to teach lifestyle. Bobby, the fan link in response to texting kill doesn't work. May be something on your phone. Also in on the text line, Mr. McLean, the data warehouse serves the good of all. We are not spying on the citizens of South Carolina. Trust me, sincerely, Hugh L., Florence, South Carolina. Right. Gotcha. Thanks, Hugh. I feel reassured already. Bobby, we need to go to Columbia en masse, kick in their door, and remind them who's boss. Bob, could this be another backdoor to gun confiscation? We know what this is about, control. This thing needs to be killed once and for all. Yeah, it is H3757. Bobby, I just remembered an old song. It is no secret what God or our government can do if we let them. Bob, I always call the General Assembly the Rhinoslature. That's a good name for them. But now I may have to change that to the Commieslature because of this data warehousing collection bill. How long until they want to put barcodes on all our foreheads? Thanks from Richard Gosnell, conservative resistor. Bobby, this sounds like communism. Yeah, it does to me. There was a great piece. I'll have to go back and find it. It was written by a lady who immigrated from Red China and talked about what it was like there. And then with the shining light of liberty and freedom in America, what a stark contrast. I'll see if I can find that. 4:30 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Annie's ready to go in the news center. Then I'm right back on the other side here on the Hump Day edition on WORD. Yes, indeedy. The entire team is in action today. Bob and the Bobettes, yours truly, the attack dog of the right. Miss Moneypenny on the other side of the glass, pushing the buttons, screening the callers, keeping the trains running on time, and, of course, little Annie back in the news center with breaking news.
Sounds like a fun crew.
It is a fun crew, and you're included as part of the crew by being there on the other side of the radio. In on my text line, 71307. Let me get in the one new message here quickly. Mr. McLean, sending kill to 52886, and it works. Thank you for sharing the information. My pleasure. So some people may have an individual phone that may present a problem. Bobby, going to give my honey a dozen golf balls for Valentine's Day. So glad she does not play. See what he's hoping for there. I'll let you know how it turns out from Gerald in Cowpens. Yeah, if you're still alive. Bobby, speaking of Tally, representative with the good old boys in Columbia, if Tally caught fire, I'd go walk the dog while he burned. Tally acts like we're his peasants. Bobby, you think this database warehouse is probably already operational and they're just trying to legalize it now? Thanks for all you guys do. Scott in Cowpens. Bobby, your show should be called Resistor Radio. Play on words? I like it. Yeah. Leaving out the trance. Bobby's still dealing with stolen identity from the last government boondoggle. Now, kill it. Dead. Now. Bobby, regarding the data mining, you know, their data warehouse, government-decided careers, Europe has been doing this for quite some time now. Ask several of the German employees of GE. Their education had been determined from grade school. Ask someone to inquire how they were guided to their career. Just another angle of socialism. Bobby, does the Obama penalty for not having health insurance stay in effect for this tax season, or is it done? No, it is done. President Trump did away with that. Bobby, do you think it would be approved if I requested to have Klansmen come read to children at the library? I mean, it's just people dressed up in costumes, right? Bobby, collecting data, what else would you expect from a Democrat-controlled red state? Boy, that's an apt description, too. A Democrat-controlled red state. Bobby, will the library allow us to do an NRA event for children, like an Eddie Eagle program? Wouldn't hurt to ask him. Mr. McLean, OMG, I got my son-in-law a job, and he got himself indicted by the feds. How embarrassing. Trust me. Yeah. Hugh L. Florence, South Carolina. Jeez. Bobby Mack, I have 52886, my hot list of contacts. They are listed as a-holes. Filled out form online. Thanks for all you do. Yeah, how to react to the guys in Columbia. Let's see. Am I caught up here? Da, da, da. I believe I am. I believe I actually managed to get caught up with the text line. Now, I saw this piece the other day. I should have printed it out when I saw it. It was written by a Chinese lady who immigrated to the U.S. From Red China. And she talked about in the op-ed piece that she wrote, it was at Fox News, and I haven't been able to relocate it, but she talked about how everything, every aspect of life, including how many children you can have, was controlled by the state. And then when the powers that be in the Politburo or whatever the Chinese equivalent of the old controlling device in the Soviet Union was, they allowed a breath of capitalism to come in, and China changed overnight. And it's pretty pathetic. You know, you read some of the examples of, and I've had callers on the show, you may have heard them, who lived in the former Soviet Union or in Soviet bloc countries back in the day. Terrifying. I mean, it was like living in 1984. But I did find another piece. Here it is. What do you know? I found it inadvertently looking for something else and came across it. Ying Ma is the lady that wrote this piece. This is pretty fascinating stuff, and I'll share it with you on the other side of the next break. But first, I wanted to pass this along because it is of import to you folks, especially in the Boiling Springs area. I got this from Mike Brady. He says, "Hey, folks, SCDOT will be holding a meeting Thursday, February 21st. That's what, a week from tomorrow, Moneypenny? Is that right? Thursday, February 21st, a week from tomorrow? Yeah. 5 to 7 p.m., Upstate Family Resource Center, 1850 Old Furnace Road, concerning the revamping of Highway 9 and 4th Avenue. And I know there's been a lot of discussion by folks over there about this proposed construction. For those of us who live in and around Boiling Springs, this will be a very important meeting on how they plan on redoing Highway 9 at 4th Avenue. This will become an even busier intersection due to all the housing on Ranging Rock Road, and 4th Avenue is slated to be the access road to Highway 9. I don't know if SCDOT will allow us to voice any of our concerns, but I say we need to show up and try anyway. I do not know for certain, but I would assume that the meeting will be held in the old cafeteria across from Dr. Hanna's office. If I find out for sure, I'll email that information as well. Please plan to be there. This should be a concern for all those who are concerned about the traffic on Highway 9 in Boiling Springs. And hope you can be there. That's a week from tomorrow, 5 to 7 p.m., the Upstate Family Resource Center at 1850 Old Furnace Road. Okay, so if you have concerns there about what they're proposing with Highway 9, that would be a good meeting to make. When we come back on the other side, this op-ed piece written by Ying Ma about what life was like in Red China, the old days, and then coming to America, talk about a stark difference. It's as Reagan said, morning in America. Now, of course, that we have President Trump, who's trying his best to make America great again. Be right back. Yeah, texter sent along another idea. Just get your state representative, your state senator on the phone, and just say to him, "Oh, no, you don't." I like it. 451, 9 before 5 here, the Bobby Mac Show, Hump Day edition. Here is the piece that I was referencing earlier. It was an op-ed at Fox News with the title, "Hey, Democrats, I've lived in a socialist country with income equality, and it was miserable," written by Ying Ma. The Democratic Party's lurch to socialism led to a presidential rebuke at the State of the Union message from Senator Bernie Sanders' call for Medicare for All to AOC's proposal of the Green New Deal to Democratic presidential hopefuls hankering for stiff tax hikes. Prominent members of the Democrat Party seem unwilling to miss any opportunity to advocate for greater government control of the economy. Yet, as Democrats justify their grandiose proposals by decrying income equality, inequality, many of us who immigrated to the United States from socialist countries see great irony. After all, unending income equality is what drove us to leave our native lands in the first place. My family left post-Mao communist China in the mid-1980s. Precisely because there was so much equality to go around. As a child, I lived in Guangzhou, the third largest city in China. Everyone in my city was equal in having no running hot water, no modern toilet facilities, no refrigerator, no washer, no dryer, and no color TV. Now imagine a world without Whole Foods, Safeway, Walmart, or the plethora of products stocked on our shelves. Imagine no vitamin water, no Gatorade, no Starbucks, no Panera Bread, no candy bars, no sea salt potato chips. Now imagine instead being allotted food stamps from the government indicating how much your family can eat. There was abundant equality and the dearth of economic opportunities as well. The state told us where to live, where to work, what to buy, and for how much. Worse yet, my fellow citizens who lived in the countryside were even more impoverished. When the state runs the economy and the lives of its citizens, there'll be plenty of equality in scarcity, poverty, and hopelessness. After decades of totalitarian rule and grand socialist experiments, China had a meager per capita GDP of less than $200 in 1980. By comparison, America's that year was $12,500. Around that time, China decided enough misery was enough. It embarked on historic economic reforms and opened up the country to the world. Liberalization introduced market prices, allowed for the return to household farming from collectivization, created special economic zones in coastal areas that attracted foreign investment and promoted exports, exposed state-owned factory production to profit incentives, and opened up the market to private firms and entities. As China began to dismantle bits and pieces of its command economy, Chinese citizens came face to face with the liberating effects of what the market made possible. There were many firsts. For the first time, we could buy goods on the open market rather than using food stamps. For the first time, we could open up businesses instead of being confined to lifetime government-assigned employment. For the first time, we could have possessions that we'd not seen before. Clothing that was not gray and drab, electronics that exposed us to brand new images and music, goods that we coveted without even knowing it. In the end, even communist China did not want this kind of economic equality that existed during my childhood. Hence, the country opened up its economy, implemented bold reforms, and adopted capitalism, even though it retained many communist characteristics. Over the past 40 years, China became the second largest economy in the world. Don't for a minute forget the lesson that still applies. When the state runs the economy and its citizen lives, there will be plenty of equality in scarcity, poverty, and hopelessness. Today, this is a lesson that prominent Democrats seem eager to forget. Less than 30 years after the former Soviet Union collapsed and the United States emerged victorious from the Cold War, Americans increasingly find it necessary to debate the shortcomings and evils of socialism all over again. It was left up to President Trump to declare in his State of the Union address, here in the United States, we are alarmed by new calls to adopt socialism in our country. America was founded on liberty and independence and not government coercion, domination, and control. We are born free and we will stay free. Tonight, we renew our resolve that America will never be a socialist country. It's crazy that the leader of the free world had to state this. It's crazier still that he will have to deliver an even more robust defense of democratic capitalism in the run-up to the 2020 presidential election. Hopefully, the Democrats' vision of economic equality will not prevail. That's a great piece written by a lady named Ying Ma. I will give this to Miss Moneypenny, and we'll put it up on our Facebook page so you can share it with your friends. Take a break for the news here at the top of the hour. 5 o'clock Follies on the way next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.